Connect.
Engage.
Change.
This
is 702
for the curious.
16 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, the commission that monitors compliance with empowerment legislation that declared that the vast majority of transactions involving broad-based BEE trusts are not compliant with the law as the trusts are not genuine and effective black ownership. The Black Economic Empowerment Commission, which has set up, by the Department of Trade and Industry in 2017, has written to the dozens of companies informing them of the need to rectify the ownership structure and undergo re-verification of their BEE status or face investigation for fronting. It's the function to monitor and record empowerment transactions with a value of more than 25 million rand. It also has the responsibility to ensure that all transactions that are still running are compliant with the Broad-Based Economic Empowerment Act, even if they were concluded prior to the Commission's establishment. For more on this, I'm now joined on the line by the Black Economic Empowerment Commissioner, Ms. Zodwa Ntuli. Ms. Ntuli, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and thank you very much for the invitation.
Now, of course, to find that, the majority of these transactions are actually not compliant is quite shocking, given the fact that there has been such a lot of focus on fronting. You're saying among the trusts that could possibly be affected are those that form part of what people call the most successful and oldest BEE vehicles, such as Kagiso Trust, Whippold Investment, the Sakto Investment Trust, and the Royal Bafokeng Nation Trust, and the Batu Batu Trust, which owns 47.5% of Tebe Investment Corporation. Those are huge institutions that have been held up as case studies of how to do successful black economic empowerment. What did you find wrong with them? Let's start, for example, with Whippold.
Okay, thank you very much, Karima. Let me say upfront that in our communication, we have not indicated the specific transactions that have been referred for investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We will be doing that in due course. So we will not necessarily be speaking to specific entities at the moment.
Mm.
However, if you recall, in 2003, when the Triple B legislation was passed, over a period of 10 years, it was reviewed. And one of the things that was a main challenge was that there was a lot of fronting, but also that the value of ownership was not actually vesting in the black hands as envisaged.
Yes.
In a sense that a number of these schemes, when it comes to the end of the 10-year period for that scheme, basically black people do not ultimately own the shares that they were said to be owning, because mm-hmm. either the deals were refinanced in the process and black people got more and more in debt. So now one of the things that was done in 2013 was the amendments to the legislation that then introduced a regulator, that is the Triple B Commission, to then oversee the implementation and make sure that it guides the market to implement it properly, but also that it acts against those that are non-compliant.
Mm.
So we were established then effectively in 2016. And then in respect of major BEE transactions that we are talking about today, the notice that indicated the threshold of 25 million in transaction value was then issued by the minister only in June 2017.
Mm.
So from June 2017, every ownership transaction that is related to Triple BEE must then be registered with the Triple B Commission within 15 days of it being concluded. And then that then started seeing a number of transactions being registered. As at the end of December 2018, the Commission had received 341 transactions.
Mm.
Of those 341 transactions, 83% are involving broad-based schemes in the form of trust, broad-based ownership schemes, or employee share ownership schemes.
Mm.
So that is now at the assessment and the testing of these schemes that we are now beginning to see that they are not compliant.
Now let's talk about what makes them non-compliant, okay? Because it's huge companies that you're talking about. Because you said, even though you're not mentioning specific entities, in an interview last week, you said you had written to a number of large entities to inform them that their ownership structures constituted fronting. And you said broad-based schemes are a good vehicle to broaden ownership if they are applied properly. But we have picked up elements of abuse. We have drilled down into broad-based schemes, and most of them are not compliant. The trust have beneficiaries who might get some money or a bursary, but that is not ownership. It is fronting. So how do you describe ownership? What is the characteristics of ownership, and how is it distinguished from fronting?
Okay. So now, in terms of the BBB legislation, it's very clear what is meant by ownership. Ownership is basically the transfer, the facilitation of the transfer of ownership right to black people. So meaning that at the end of the day, we must see a black person owning a stake in an entity or owning productive assets of this economy. That is what is intended. So now the BBB Code of Good Practice then go further to say what is it that you need to test to be able to ensure that this is compliant. The first thing that you need to test is that, for instance, if we take, for instance, Karima, that you're saying that 30% of your company is owned by employees, and these employees own these shares through a trust, then what we will test, firstly, is whether these black owners do have the rights, the voting rights that that flow from the 30%. But not only do they have them, do they actually exercise them? So what we'll then test there, for instance, is we look at that trust, and we look at the trustees of that trust, and then we look at the relationship between the beneficiaries of that trust, who are supposed to be the black people that are indirect shareholders. The trustees are not the owners. It's the beneficiaries that are the indirect owners, but through that vehicle. So we'll then look at the trust and look at whether any of the trustees represent the trust as a shareholder that has 30% in the measured entity. So now, at least that person must have a representation on the board of the measured entity. They must be able to exercise that voting right. It must not only be on paper. Most of them do not meet that requirement because there isn't any representation by the trust at all in the measured entity. And then the second element that we need to test is the economic interest. That basically talks to the benefit, the economic benefit that must flow to you as an owner in an entity. That is a right that would be maybe a dividend right or a right similar to a dividend right. So we'll then look at that and see what is it that flows in that. If there is no flow of those economic benefits, then we will not recognize that fully as ownership. The third element that we test is the net value. So what we test in the net value is that you'll find that the 30% shareholder, which is held through a trust, obviously, would then have acquired that 30% through a debt.
Right.
So what we look at is whether that debt repayment has actually occurred. So where is vendor finance, for instance, we look at whether the shareholder is repaying that debt and to what is outstanding, so that at the end of the day, the ownership will effectively transfer to that black person. So those three things, in most of these schemes that we've looked at, they fail to meet the test. And we've advised the entities accordingly, and we've indicated what needs to be done. But the last thing that I must indicate also, Karima, is that where ownership is facilitated through a trust, employee share scheme, or broad-based scheme, there are additional rules that you must then meet so for that trust to be compliant. So now, the reference to bursaries, you find that in the trust, in that trust, when we look at who the beneficiaries are, and we ask for the list of those black people that are owning, the entity sometimes is even unable to give us a list because they do not have a list, because the beneficiaries have not been identified, they are not there. So then it begs the question, how do you then claim them as black when you don't even know who they are? they are unidentified. But secondly, you find that they tell you that the beneficiaries are black university students. So what they do is that every year they will select a number of people and then they will give them bursaries. Then they want to pass that as ownership. That is not ownership. That is skills development. There's already an element under the 5BBB elements that have been included in the Code of Good Practice that is under skills development. So it is not ownership. A bursary scheme is not ownership. Mm. But the third thing that I wanted to mention also is that some of them, they still operate like your discretionary charity trust, where you just identify some projects in the community and then you give funding to those organizations. That also is not ownership. That is what we call your socio-economic development element. Yeah. That is already provided for separately under the Code of Good Practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, most companies have social responsibility programs. It's not a replacement for black economic empowerment, especially broad-based black economic empowerment. Now, you say our investigation unit conducts the investigation and makes the decisions. Where the commission requires external capacity, we can delegate to a service provider. Entities can approach the commission to check their transaction for alignment, and we will assist them to align. But you have said that the companies that have been advised of their status but had taken no steps to fix their ownership structures would be referred for investigation by the commission. What sanction can a company who doesn't align, who doesn't comply, who doesn't ensure that there are fake efforts at fronting almost replacements for genuine ownership and equity, what punishment, what sanction can be imposed on them?
So in terms of the legislation, Karima, the various sanctions for specific conduct, okay? So in the case of merger plea transactions, the one thing that is important to note is that at the level of the registration of the transaction, we actually have all the documents relating to that transaction filed with us. So we already have the information that we need to do an assessment and conclude whether or not this is compliant. So it's not like where maybe somebody complains and we're still going to look for documents and that do a separate investigation that is fully fledged. So in this case, the information is already submitted with the commission upfront. We have advised you already of what the concerns are, and we've given you an opportunity to remedy it. If you do not remedy that, then that gets to then go into a formal investigation so that formal findings are made.
All right, Ms. Ntuli, we've unfortunately run out of time. My apologies. We will, of course, keep track of the work of the commission. That is Zodwa Ntuli. She's the BEE commissioner.